This message is given by Dr. B.J. Stagner, pastor of New Testament Baptist Church, Goodlettsville, Tennessee.
Matthew 13, we're going to begin in verse 3. And the Bible says, "And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed some seeds, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. And other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some hundredfold, some sixtyfold, some thirtyfold. Who have ears to hear, let him hear." Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the wonderful day that you've given us. We thank you for this time and opportunity to be in your house once again. Father, it is a praise to be well. It is a praise to be here. Lord, there's a lot of things that could have happened this morning. It wouldn't allow us to be where we are today. And Father, I do want to thank you for allowing us to be in the house of God. And we want to give you glory and honor and lift up the name of Christ for such things and all things that is in our life. Father, be with us now as the word is preached. I pray, dear God, that the Holy Spirit of God would intervene, intermingle inside of our hearts and minds, Lord, to decipher and discern this word, that we may grow closer to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. And please be seated. The parable of the sower. Now, last week we did an introduction to the mysteries of the kingdom, and I had mentioned that I probably wasn't going to go over these in order, and I still may not. But the parable of the sower, we find, beloved, it emphasizes how the message of salvation will go forth throughout all the world, through all the people. And the soil itself symbolizes the human heart. It symbolizes man's dispositional attitude toward the gospel. And so it's easy to see the differing reactions toward the gospel seed, whether it be through reception or rejection and everything in between. Now, the reason I went ahead and I'm going to bring this message today on the parable of the sower. Now, most of you know that a couple years ago I preached a 4-week series on the parable of the sower, and I went over all 4 different soils per message. And I'm not taking a 4-week message and trying to cram it in one morning, nor am I going to re-preach that message. I like to really preach in detail on the parable of the sower out of the book of Mark. But we're looking at Matthew 13 here with the mysteries of the kingdom. And this particular parable is important. And this is why I did want to start out with it today. It's important. I mean, it has grave importance, so much that the Lord uses it as a key or as a pattern, as a blueprint in understanding any other parable that he speaks. He said that in Matthew chapter 13. Look over at verse 18 when he's speaking to his disciples. He says, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower." Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, "Hear ye," and it's meaning so much more than just, I want you to hear what I'm saying. We find in Mark's rendition here in Mark 14, verse 13, you read it from top, Jesus Christ says, "And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? How then will ye know all parables?" So this parable of the sower is so key that if you cannot understand the parable of the soils and the parable of the sower, Lord Jesus Christ is saying you're not going to understand any of the parables that's going to come forth, for this is the key, this is the pattern, this is the blueprint in understanding, discerning the rest of them. So the Lord Jesus Christ challenges his hearers in verse 9 by saying this, "He who hath ears to hear, let him hear." If you have ears to hear, let you hear today. Now, one can say, in a little sense, you can say, "He who has spiritual ears, let him hear." But we're not going to address that right now so much. We today often hear it in the parable. We hear it explained. And beloved, I pray this morning this, as the Lord Jesus Christ challenged those that was present that day, my prayer is that the Word of God would challenge your heart and challenge your mind in understanding the great need of sowing the precious seed of the Word of God. I pray today that when you leave here, you are so challenged in your heart and mind that you will seek out opportunities just to give a tract out or to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is my hope and my prayer this morning. Beloved, the parable is so important because it is the first teaching that we find that follows Israel's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit of God. Look in verse 7. He answered and said unto them, and he's speaking to his disciples. They asked him, why do you speak in parables? He says, he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Now we know, you can cross-reference that with Romans chapter 11, that blindness is in part has been given unto Israel. God has closed the door on Israel as a nation right now. The individual Jew can still be enlightened by exercising personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and can so be saved just as you and I have been saved today. But outside of that fact, the unregenerated Jew today even is blind to the mystery of the kingdom of God. And he said it so. It's fulfilling the prophecy that was given in Isaiah chapter 6. And the Lord goes on to repeat that in the next couple of verses. Look in verse 14 and 15 is where it is, but just read verse 13 for context. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. So when the Lord has a fulfillment of prophecy here, a point that he's making to his disciples, that unto you the mysteries are given, but unto them it's not. Because now the prophecy is being fulfilled because of the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit of God. As a nation, as a whole, God closes the door for Israel for a short period of time. And we'll see that as we look here in this parable and the parables to come. So the Lord moves forward in his teaching. We find that the disciples of the Lord are given the privilege of understanding the parable of the sower. Now let me say that to you today. You have been given the privilege of understanding the parable of the sower as a disciple. The word disciple comes from the same root word, discipline. Those that are a follower, a disciplined follower of Christ, are given the privilege of understanding the gospel, of understanding the parable of the sower, of understanding the differing soils and the seed that must be planted, and even the sower itself inside a lost and dying world. You have been given that privilege. Now, I don't want you to look on this morning and say, big deal. It's 2011. Shouldn't we all know this by now? Nor do I want you to look on this and stick your chest out and say, boy, we're something. Look what we know. I want you to look at this morning and I want you to say, praise be to God that he has given us the opportunity to shine the light of his precious word upon our hearts and our minds, that we may be able to understand something that was sealed from God's chosen people. Please understand that this morning. There are three facets in this parable. There are the sower, there is the seed, and there is the soil. Now, here's what's interesting about this. We almost know nothing about the sower other than it represents the constant sowing of the gospel seed from the days of Christ to the days that we live in today. The Lord evidently, this is where I got to look at this thing. I didn't use this as an illustration, illustrated point when I preached on this in times past in the series of it. But I guess I missed it completely. But we know almost nothing of how the seed was sown. We know nothing of really who the sower is. We know nothing. All we know is that the sower represents the continual seeding and sowing of the Word of God in a lost and dying nation. You know one of the reasons I believe God didn't give us exactly those details about that? I believe if he did, we would have so patterned ourselves after that sower that we would have missed the point of our heart being involved in the sowing itself. That's just my opinion there. But the Lord keeps the sower in the background. Someone once said that a child can drop a seed just as effective as the most experienced farmer can. And I believe that to be true. Remember, Paul said over there in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 7, he said, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God. It is God that give the increase. I can send my children out into a field and they can throw grass seeds just as easy as I can go out there and sow the grass seeds. Very little was mentioned of the sower, and very little is mentioned of the seed either, if you think about it for a second. I mean, other than the fact that we know that the seed is the Word of God, it's the best kind of seed, the inspired, infallible, inimitable Word of God. Other than that, we really don't know anything about the seed itself. But then again, do we need to know anything else about the seed? It's the Word of God. I mean, what is going to save somebody today? It's going to be by the washing and the cleansing of the Word of God. It's the Word of God that saves souls today. It's not my words. It's not your words. Again, Paul said, neither is he that soweth anything, neither is he that watereth anything, but it is God that bringeth the increase. The Lord spent detailed time. He spent much emphasis and instruction on the soil. It's obvious, I believe, that the Lord wants us to know. He wants us to understand. He wants us to clearly see the differing types of soil that we are going to sow the Word of God. Those that will receive it purely, and those that will reject it plainly, and even those that will receive it partially and yet still not take root. So the different types of soils, beloved, they represent the differing types of hearts, the different types of heart that the seed of the Word of God is sowed upon. In a sense, if you will, these soils that we see in the parable of the sower, they represent every heart that's in this world today that will hear the Word of God, that the seed is sown upon. Essentially, there's two main types of soils. We see those that receive the truth of the Word of God and it produces great fruit. We see those that are partially receive or outright reject it. So what we're going to see this morning, just quickly in the four soils, is we see a productive soil and we see a problematic soil. Those are the two types. When we lived over here in Gulletsville, I can understand this. When we moved out to Coopertown, I could throw a seed anywhere and it would grow. I mean, it didn't matter where in the world I threw a seed of grass, it grew. I mean, it grew in the driveway. But over here in Gulletsville, when we lived in their house over there, man, I couldn't grow grass I tried for years on end. I brought people out. They tested the soil. They did everything. It wasn't growing. And to this day, there's spots there that is still bare. It just wasn't going to grow. So it's a good illustration to understand that there is problematic soil in this world. There's also productive soil in this world. First, I want you to see the superficial soil. In verses 18 through 19, the superficial soil. Verse 18 says, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside." The wayside soil symbolizes the waywardness of some people, beloved. Their bodies are present, but their hearts and their minds are far from them. I mean, there's no results from their seed that has been sown. People will hear the Word of God, and it goes in one ear, and it goes out the other. They'll sit in the church house as the greatest truth of all creation is preached and taught and read and exposed under their heart and mind, and their minds are on other things. It's on farming or football games or farmer finances. That's the waywardness, the wayside heart, beloved. In the latter part of verse 19, the Lord explains what happens here. He says, "This is he that received the seed by the wayside." You see, this wayside heart, it's far from him. The heart is the soil. The wayside is the type. It's far away. And the fowls are the devil. That's the wicked one. If you study out your Bible, you find out that mostly that fowls are always representative of, most of the time, representative of devils or demons, if you will. You see that time and time and time again in the Word of God, as they are a picture of demons, beloved. And we find that seed falls by that wayside over there in verse 4. In verse 4 it says, "And when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured him up." Those seeds fell on the wayside, but they never took root. Wayside soil is hardened soil. Wayside soil has been trodden down by other activities. Wayside soil, beloved, hears the message. The heart hears the message, but they say within themselves, "Well, I just don't agree with that. Well, that's not my interpretation. Well, I don't feel that way about it." All the while, beloved, they're damning their souls to a devil's hell. The wayside soil is earmarked by no results. You say, wait a second, preacher. No results? No results. As a preacher, we see this all the time. As a Christian, beloved, if you're active in your witnessing, you'll see this all the time. Man, you'll pass that track, you'll have lunch, you'll sit, you'll witness, and you'll share the glorious truths of the Word of God with somebody, and it just ain't getting nowhere. Amen. To put it plainly. Grammatically incorrect, but plain. That's the wayside here. It's a hardened soil. Nothing's going to get in. Secondly, we find the stony soil. He says, but he received the seed into the stony places, the same as he that heareth the word and in it with joy receive it. But the soil pictures the weakness of some professions of faith. They're weak, they're shallow soil intermixed with stones. Seeds are dry. Locked in, and what appears as an initial promise of life and reception, but because of the stones that are there intermixed with the dirt, there's nowhere for the seed to feed upon the nutrients that it needs to grow. And beloved, we see this across America all the time. Luke describes them in verse 21. Look there in verse 21. It says, yet hath he no root in himself, but dureth for a while. Means endureth. Dureth for a while, for tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word. By and by, he is offended. We touched on people being offended a little bit in Sunday school this morning. But beloved, there's no root in them. Therefore, there is no fruit in them. But these are they, but they have a profession of faith, but they don't have a confession of Jesus Christ. They're enthusiastic at the first. They're excited at the first. They see it wonderfully, the wonderful benefit of the Word of God. But it fades away as personal responsibility is learned of those that name the name of Christ. Dr. Adrian Rogers said that a faith that fizzles was a failure at the first. I wonder sometimes what happens in people's life, whether they're raised in church or not. I wonder sometimes what happens. I read stories about somebody who was a faithful member of the such and such Baptist church, and now on Sunday it's beer and ball games. You know what it does to me sometimes? It makes me afraid. At initial glance, when I see men at one time that were considered to be pillars in the church house, and they've, as the old saying goes, have gone by the wayside, that's not doctrinally correct, but you understand what it means. It makes me think within my heart, what happened? What happened? Could it happen? It scares me, guys. When you was a child and you got scared of a storm, you ran to Mom and Daddy's room. You wanted to hear a comforting word from Mom and Daddy. It's going to be okay. And beloved, I'm going to tell you what I do when I get scared. I don't run away from Mom and Daddy. I run to Daddy. And I want to hear His word that comforts me and say, it'll be okay. Fear not. All things work together for good. No, it's not good that's happening, but all things work together for good. But the stony soil, whereas they looked like they got in at the first, they never did. These are, by all accounts, stony soils where the seed was sown, and they simply remain lost. Whereas the first ground was that there was no results, the stony ground are earmarked by being no root. You see, the Word of God could not sink, the seed could not go down deep inside the soul and latch on and stay. It was just a mouth profession. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to move on. Many of you have heard me preach for several years how I'm against easy believism. Now, I believe it's simple to get saved. I don't believe it's easy. I believe it's simple. There's a difference between the two. It wasn't easy to go to the cross. Amen? But it's simple. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's simple. There is no complexity about that verse. But I believe men, in their drive to build bigger buildings, money monuments of members, have perverted the simplicity, as Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11:3, but I fear lest by any means as a serpent beguiled Eve through a subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And they've converted simplicity into ease. All you got to do is just repeat this prayer. All right, you're saved. That happened to my wife. She spent an entire year thinking she was going to heaven because some preacher told her she did. And in a class that me and her were working, we wasn't married yet. We was working a youth class. She got saved. We was courting. Couldn't even hug her. I had to shake her hand. High five. You know. But it frightens me how churches are growing in leaps and bounds, and 350 and 390 were saved on this Thursday night, and you go back to these people's homes and you ask them, if you die today, do you know you're going to heaven? Well, I hope I do. Well, didn't you? Wasn't it just over here last week? I hope so. I'm going to tell you something. I got saved and born again. I may not have been what I should have been the first few years after being saved. I guarantee you this, I knew I was saved. Amen? I didn't even have a Bible until my parents shipped one up to me in Nebraska. I didn't have it. I knew it was real what happened in that office. Ain't no hoping to it, praise God. Stony soil. It sounds good. It feels good at first, but responsibility is laid at the door, and they just have no root, and they fall away. And as Dr. Rogers says, a faith that fizzled was a failure at the first. Thirdly, we find that there's a sinful soil. Thirdly, we see that in verse 22, the Bible says, he also that receiveth the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, watch this, and the deceitfulness of riches, watch that, and they choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. The thorn soil depicts the worldliness of some people. They also, just as the stony soil, they show initial promise, but no lasting results, no growth, no changes in their life. The soil itself was infested by the curse. What curse? Sin, Genesis 3. Genesis 3, verse 18 says, thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. Friend, that's what we're talking about. That seed is sown, but it's infested by sin and by the curse. And there's no changes. The Bible says, because they fear not God, there is no changes. The Bible is clear about having no fear of God. If you have no fear of God, you won't change anything. If you have no fear of God, you won't repent. And friend, if you don't repent, you can't be saved. Cares of this life, the Bible says, is referring to problems of life. Friend, when someone gets saved, they're not automatically blanketed by God of protection. God just doesn't come down and say, okay, now your homes and your lives of all believers, you're not going to be susceptible to storms and fires and downsizes and earthquakes. Christians, we have an advantage with God. We have an advocate with the Father. There is one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. We have advantages, but we also need to know that when we get saved, we are still susceptible to the same problems of life, amen, that the lost do. We find here, though, that the seed is sown and other things become more important than church and obedience to Christ, the one that died for us. It amazes me, beloved, listen carefully. It amazes me how people, how quick they'll go hunting and fishing and running around with the guys and gals, but they're just too sick, too tired, too busy, too caught up with other things to be in the house of God. I'm not saying I wasn't there at one time. I'm not saying that. But Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. Amen. And he goes on, he says, but when I became a man, put away childish things. There comes a time when you just need to grow up. Now, I covered this soil here more in depth in the series of the parable of the sower. I understand that. And we went over the cares of life and the deceitfulness of riches. By the way, let me throw this out there to you. The deceitfulness of riches doesn't mean that you have to be rich to be deceived by them. Amen? Everybody thinks that's a wealthy person. No. I'll tell you what, you could not have two pennies to rub together in your pocket and still fall under the same guise of the deceitfulness of riches. The lust of other things. I cover that more in depthly. If you'd like to have that series, just get with me or Brother Darrell or somebody and we'll get that to you. But finally, what we find there, beloved, is this sinful soil here, these thorns that grow up, it's evidence of their profession that it was just simply not real. And thus it's earmarked by no resistance. The first one is earmarked by no results. The second one is earmarked by no roots. But thirdly, we find there's no resistance. They can't resist the cares of this life. If you were following along intently, you just realize that that's 75% of the soil in all the world. See, that's why this parable is so important. That's why Jesus Christ said, if you don't know this one, you're not going to know any of them. By the Word of God, the Word of truth, which makes no mistake, 75% of all soil that the seed will be sown on will not come to fruition. You say, my goodness, man. Then why bother? Because of the 25%. I like what Paul said. I become all men, all things unto all men. Why? That I might save some. He didn't say I become all things to all men and might save all. He said that I might save some. That doesn't mean he goes into a bar house to witness to a drunkard. That doesn't mean he goes into become a pornographer to witness to a pornographer. That doesn't mean any of that thing. You can't justify your sin and taking the Bible into a bar and say, well, I'm all men, all things. No, sir. Doesn't work like that. Well, Dr. Carter always said, listen, you don't go in a pig pen to get the pig out of there, amen. Open up the gate and have him walk out. That 25% is that strong soil. Verse 23 says, but he that receiveth the seed, he that receiveth the seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bring forth some 100-fold and some 60 and some 30. This is the soil that is ready, it's willing, it's able to receive the seed of the word of God, and thus forth it brings forth fruit and the righteousness of Christ. Beloved, this is a genuine conversion. It's evidenced by the fruit of their life. Amen. It's a moderate development that's seen in their life. Love for the Lord Jesus Christ. I got to say this. There is no doubt in my mind today that if one of these men in this church pulled you out of a burning car, that you would not love him to death. No doubt in my mind. You know, I've read a lot of war stories. Men that have jumped on grenades to save the rest of the men of the platoon. Men that have taken shifts. Men that have swapped their life and their well-being so that others may be saved. And those men were indebted to that man. Here we have the Son of God who stepped down off the throne of eternity and wrapped on the robes of flesh and in all points was tempted like as we, yet committed no sin. Here we have the one that spoke creation into its existence, self-existing, eternal one. Here we have the man, Christ Jesus, died in our place. Give victory over the grave. The strong soil that truly gets saved has a love for the Lord who died for them. He has a love for the Lord's people, a love for the Lord's Bible. And beloved, you can't say that you love something if you don't follow it and obey it. Amen, preacher. In all points. Amen. I'm not saying you don't slip up here and there. I'm not saying that. I'm not talking about sinless perfection. But I am telling you this. When an issue and a problem comes into your life, search out the Scriptures. See what it says and do what they say, whether it likes you or not. Amen? I mean, I'm going to do what's right, whether hell it's a pope. I'm going to do what God's told us to do. And there's times, guys, when you read and you say, my goodness, I know, but I'm mad at that person. And I want to stay mad. Because we do. Just to be honest. There's sometimes in a car, I want to ram the person in front of me off the road. Just being honest with you. But I can't. Because of the Word of God. These are souls that are Spirit-filled, Christ-like, soul-winning Christians, and it's evident by what is produced in their life. What is the product? As Christ said, by their fruits you may know them. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, from up top, the Bible says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Beloved, the first ones were earmarked by no results. The second were earmarked by no roots. The third was earmarked by no resistance. But the strong soil is earmarked by no regrets, and no returns. This is a picture of a true conversion, beloved, which the Lord gives us this day as an example to follow, as well as an example for our own personal lives. So, beloved, let me ask you this morning. Which soil best represents your life? Which soil best represents the lives of those that are around you? Have you been weak and unwilling to serve God? Have you become wayside or hardened to the Word of God? Have you allowed worldliness into your life, placing other things in front of Christ, disproportionate priorities? Or are you willing today to serve Christ in the fullness of every opportunity allotted by the Savior? Every opportunity. He gives you opportunities here. He gives you opportunities. You can bat 100 or bat 1,000 by getting all services. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I've never sat under a preacher that hasn't believed in that. From Dr. Carter, Dr. Ellis, I've heard it preached from their pulpits for years. Every opportunity, the gas station, putting that track inside the gas pump, while your fuel is filling up, walk around, pass tracks out to people. You see, I think I'm a fanatic. Good. Amen. There's worse things they could think you were. Amen. I mean, I'm not talking about purloining it from your boss. I'm not talking about sitting there and robbing from your boss. That's counterproductive. But I am telling you this. When you go to work, you can live a Christian life. What did you do this weekend? I went to church. Loved it. I sang in the choir. Amen. Opportunities, guys. Leaving a track with your tip, if you tip. If you cheap tipper, don't leave a track. Amen. Give them church down the street. I'm kidding. I believe in all my heart, guys. I understand by the Word of God that only 25% of where the seed falls is going to bring forth fruit and souls are going to be saved. I understand that clearly. And you know what that has encouraged me to do? And I hope today that he who has ears will hear and leave this challenge at your door this morning. It encourages me to give out more. Because I don't know about you, but I know numbers. I sure would rather have 25% of a million than I would have 25% of 100. I know that, and you say, but it's still 20. I don't care. I'd rather have 250,000 souls that are saved than just 25. And it's a matter of the quality. It's not all about quantity, but I am telling you this. If you can get the gospel out and sow that seed in more places and believe the word of God, then by all rights, 25% of the soil that it falls upon will be true converts to Christ. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Every head bowed, every eyes closed, no one moving about, if you will. We accept the challenge today. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear, Jesus Christ said. Will you accept the challenge this morning and be a sower of the precious, infallible, immutable, inherited Word of God today? Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. And you know our hearts. You know the people's hearts. Lord, I've done my best. And I pray, dear God, that where I have lacked in so many areas today, that the Holy Spirit of God has intervened and made the difference. Father, as we see the different reactions in different soils, prayer goes in this morning that you would pierce the hearts of all your people, their lives be changed and drawn closer toward me. I do love you and do praise your wonderful name.
This concludes this message. For more information on messages available through the Faithful Witness Outreach, visit New Testament Baptist Church online at www.ntbctn.com or for immediate assistance, call New Testament Baptist Church at 615-851-0970. If you are in the Nashville, Tennessee area, please feel free to join us at any of our church times. New Testament Baptist Church is located at 2320 Baker Station Road, Goodlettsville, Tennessee, 30072.